Dr. Gomez, what were the most significant developments in Cuban-American relations in 2012?
Well, I would say from this point of view, from here, from the United States, very little. I think we have reached some of an impasse between discussions between the United States and Cuba, and most of those discussions have been about Alan Gross, whether Cuba's going to release Alan Gross or not. For the first time, I would say Cuba really did not become a significant issue in the presidential election for the Cuban-American community. We saw, which I think is very healthy, the Cuban-American community almost split their vote between Governor Romney and President Obama. I think after 53-plus years, the Cuban-American community, and of course, the different generations now. I mean, the older generation is, you know, is dying slowly. My generation and my kids' generation, I think, as much as we care about Cuba and seeing a free, democratic Cuba, there are other issues that concern us to a great deal. So it would all depend, I think, in this coming year as to what the Cuban government will be ready to do in terms of what. I think the move is, you know, it's on their part. Are they going to release Alan Gross? Is Fidel Castro going to die? Is Hugo Chavez is going to die? What implications that's going to have? So we have to wait and see.
The Cuban government is, or the Cuban authorities have now held Alan Gross for more than 3 years. Everybody seems to agree that's really hurt efforts to unfreeze relations. Is this the biggest stumbling block to making things happen?
I say that that's not necessarily the biggest, but it certainly is one. To Washington, D.C., in the times that we live now, I don't think Cuba at this point is of a national security issue. I think Washington, D.C. is more concerned about the possibility, as Juan knows very well, of a mass exodus, which I don't see it anymore. And what might happen with the relationship between Cuba and what I would call some of the not-so-friendly U.S. countries, such as Iran, North Korea, China, even though I think we have a better relationship with China, so we can somehow talk to the Chinese. And again, more importantly, Venezuela. Venezuela, not just from the point of view of Hugo Chavez, but given their economic support of Cuba, if Hugo Chavez were to disappear and pass away, will Venezuela continue to provide that kind of support? And if not, I think it would create a bigger problem internally for Cuba in terms of the economic problems and issues that they have been facing now for the last couple of years.
Juan?
One comment is that, you know, we have to put the Gross case into some context. And it seems to me that at some point you have to sort of start wondering whether Cuba, in fact, wants better relations with the United States. If it continues to hold Alan Gross, it is, I think, the major roadblock right now to better relations with Washington. There might be a way in which the U.S. can somehow break through that roadblock and make enough concessions to the Cubans in the next 4 years to sort of break that logjam, win Alan Gross's release and move on from there. But it seems to me that the continued holding of Alan Gross indicates that Raul Castro is not really interested in paying the price for improved relations with the United States that is on the table right now. And, you know, one has to think that, you know, Castro is undertaking some pretty significant and therefore risky economic reforms. And maybe the issue of relations with the United States is just simply not one of his priorities at this point.
I would agree with my good friend Juan for 90% of it. I do think, given the current economic conditions in Cuba, one would imagine that they understand, even though they might not want to admit, though, that their big market is 90 miles to the north, and that is the United States. But, you know, again, the ball is in the court. I agree with Juan. Does Raul Castro really want a relationship with the United States and therefore willing to make the first step, and that would be the release of Alan Gross? We have to wait and see. One thing that I have seen in the last 6 months is more activity from Cubans on the island, intellectuals, so-called intellectuals, academics, and others, reaching out to some of us here in the States, trying to establish some type of communication, which I think is very interesting because that has not happened in the past. Again, we're very cautious, and I am one personally that do believe that down the line we're going to have to build some of these bridges, not just with the Cuban people, but, you know, with whoever is going to be running Cuba. I mean, I don't think at this point, I don't see any signs of them wanting to let go of political control. However, you know, in a month, this coming January will be the first year of the new law that the Communist Party adopted, which is 2 5-year terms for their leaders, which means that Raul Castro will have 4 years left in his first term. The question that I ask myself, if Raul is alive at the end of the first 5-year term, is he going to step down? There have been some signs, at least for me, of Raul making some moves and moving a younger generation to key positions. One, for instance, we saw last week, Phil, their foreign minister, Bruno Rodriguez, being moved into the Politburo. So you begin to see some of these individuals moving into key positions that I would say Raul Castro is looking down the future.
Yet you say, Andy, that Raul Castro has been underestimated by many people in his ability to maintain the status quo there.
Yeah, I think that there are many of us in the academic field and others that thought that once Fidel got sick, Raul Castro was not going to be able to keep the pieces together. No, he has. As a matter of fact, I think he has done it very differently than Fidel Castro. Fidel basically operated on whims, and those whims got implemented, and most of the times by Raul Castro. Raul Castro is beginning to show that he wants to make some of these changes or continue to make changes through institutions. But again, the economic reforms that they have struggled in the last 3 years to get them going, I would say most of the reason has been because they really don't have an infrastructure to implement them, and therefore it becomes very difficult to carry them out.
Juan, what do you think? I mean, from what you talked, from who you talked to, is Raul Castro long for power in Cuba?
Well, I think he's in power as long as he wants to. This idea of a term limit of 2 5-year terms, let's be clear, it's never been made official. It was something that Raul proposed during the last party gathering. As far as we know at this point, it's never been sort of adopted, accepted. It's never been put in place, and there's still the question of whether he would count this upcoming 5-year term as his first or his second, or, you know, he can interpret that any way he wants. I think, you know, I agree with Andy that Raul has been trying to put in place some significant economic reforms. I think he's run into a lot more problems than we realize at this point. There is a bureaucratic resistance to what Raul has been trying to do. In fact, Jorge Dominguez from Harvard called it a bureaucratic insurrection against the power. There are old Fidelistas. There are now a group called Neo-Fidelistas, a sort of a new left, a sort of a Trotskyite left. Raul is certainly, you know, the ruler. There's no question about who rules Cuba. There's a lot of questions about what orders are obeyed once he gives those orders. There's a very there's a saying in Spanish for someone a bureaucrat or somebody who is given an order and doesn't want to quite disobey him, but doesn't carry him out, and it's obedezco, pero no cumplo. I obey, but I don't do it. And so, you know, this is a pretty significant series of change that Raul is trying to impose on this very unwieldy system. And there is just resistance to it. And you know, he announced at one point that they were going to be able to lay off 500,000 people by April of last year. Suddenly that gets dropped. It goes nowhere. He announced that they were going to tie productivity to salary or salary to productivity. It went nowhere. So it makes you wonder sort of underneath that image of steadfastness, what's going on underneath that?
We haven't mentioned Fidel, and there was recently a story that he's been nominated for a position in the Cuban parliament. We don't know his health specifically. I guess we know he's still alive, and his 2012 passes, we hear stories, in fact, I think once a month now, you know, not to make too glib a matter of this, but that Fidel has died and, you know, everybody sort of gins it up and starts thinking about the consequences. But as the years go on and he's out of the spotlight more and more, does it really matter, you know, when Fidel dies at this point, or is he still, Andy, a fixture making big decisions in that government?
You know, that's a tough question that we ask ourselves. No, Fidel's alive, and in terms of what condition he is, well, hello?
Yep.
Last time I saw him was when, I guess we all got to see him when he visited the Pope in Havana. He didn't look to be in very good shape. The question that I ask myself is the Cuban people really ready to go from Fidelismo to Raulismo? And I think up to now, Raul has needed the symbol of Fidelismo to continue to carry out some of the government policy. I think he already started, I would say maybe 6 months ago, to begin to put in place more of the Raulismo. And I see that as part of moving some of these young people into the position of making sure that the so-called revolution or this new, as they call it, new socialist movement will be in the hands of a new generation. But are the people on the street going to scream, Raul, Raul? I don't think so. I think it will be Fidel. And, you know, I think Fidel is in the past, at least to me. I think Fidel right now, what he has more is the symbol to everybody else.
A couple of final questions for both of you. Now with the Obama administration unhindered by elections, Juan, first for you, do you think there's going to be any overtures towards the Cuban government in the next 4 years with this administration?
Well, I think there'll certainly be an attempt to warm up the relations. John Kerry, the senator who's reportedly in line to become the next Secretary of State, has been a longtime sort of opponent to some of the harsher sanctions on Cuba and opponent, for example, of the USAID's pro-democracy programs for Cuba that spend a lot of money supporting the dissidents on the island. So I expect that there will be an attempt to warm up the relations in some way, to some or another get around the Alan Gross issue, improve things to the point where they can then talk about the Alan Gross issue. But again, I think, you know, that it takes two to tango. And the question is, what's Cuba, what's Raul Castro ready and willing to do? And there, I'm not sure what the answer is.
And assuming that they can get around or get past this Alan Gross issue, Dr. Gomez, for you, do you see any significant overtures for the Obama administration?
Well, I'm not so sure I would call them overture. I agree with what Juan said in terms of Senator Kerry looks like he's going to be Secretary of State. I don't see anytime soon that John Kerry or anybody that is visible will travel to Havana and sit down with anybody. And like Juan said, it takes two to tango whether Havana is willing to sit down with his people. But I think it's in our best interest from the United States point of view to begin to figure out who these people are. We've learned a great deal of lessons from Iraq and Afghanistan, particularly even from security issues. The military, who are the military leaders? I think we need to have a better understanding of who these people are and how they think to a great extent. Because in general, anybody that tells you they know who is the person that's going to replace Raul Castro, in my opinion, doesn't know what they're talking about. We do not know. And I think that unknown factor down the line could create problems for the United States. So I do think it will be in the best interest in the United States behind doors to begin to make some kind of movement towards Cuba and see how the Cubans react.
One final thing, you know, we do know now at least the appointed successor for Hugo Chavez and the fortunes of Venezuela, obviously, and Hugo Chavez and his health mean a lot to those in Cuba. He's still being treated, Venezuela's president, by Cuban doctors in Cuba, may have suffered a setback from his recovery from cancer. There's talk of him never returning to Venezuela. Andy, you touched on this briefly, but you know, what if Chavez dies tomorrow? I mean, how big an impact is that on Cuba?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, number one, economically, will the new leadership in Venezuela want to continue the relationship with Cuba? Yes. Can they continue to provide Cuba the economic assistance that Chavez has been providing? I'm not so sure, because Venezuela itself is having some economic problems. So we have to wait and see as in term, actually, how the Venezuelan leadership or even how the Venezuela military, two levels below its own leadership, would react if Hugo Chavez were to die in a couple of weeks or a couple of months. It remains to be seen.
Andy Gomez with the Cuban-American Studies Institute at the University of Miami, Juan Tamayo, who covers Cuba here at El Nuevo Herald. Gentlemen, thanks very much. Very interesting discussion.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you, Phil.
Take care, Andy.
Bye, Juan. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Bye-bye.